here that I've never preached on before of all the years I've been preaching. And it's always, I've always liked this verse of Scripture, but I've never preached on it. And the other day, I was thinking about it, and it's been on my heart all weekend. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited I don't know what to do myself. Be here tonight. Be ready for after the service tonight. We're going to load up all sound equipment, microphones, piano back there. Move everything over tonight. Tomorrow evening, we need weed eaters, fellas. Men, if you haven't done nothing yet, donate weed eater and some push mowers. Brother Ray's going to come in and mow the big yard about Wednesday or Thursday so it won't have time to grow back on us. And, of course, we will be having services at the fairground next Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's like a big vacation we take every year. We'll need to meet with the food people tonight. Saturday, you got your little guide there from 12 o'clock to 2. We're going to be having hamburgers and hot dogs, funnel cakes. My deacons, where's my deacons at? Where y'all at, Eva? Oh, they moved. There they are. Deacons over there. They're going to be fixing tacos?
Quesadillas.
Whatever that is. Well, you know, that stuff's all the same. They're going to be fixing them, and boy, they're going to enjoy that. Quesadillas. And then we're also having drinks and snacks and boxing. The boxing gets good when them girls get in there. Holy mercy. They get in the flesh really, really fast. And get backslid. Start pulling hair and stuff. But anyway, that'll be a lot of fun. And then the service, don't miss the Saturday afternoon service from 2 to 5. Sometimes that's the best service we have as far as good singing. One singing group right after another. One preacher right after another. All Saturday evening. You know, they go to these motorcycle things. You go to these car races. You go to a basketball tournament. You go to the ACC tournaments. You'd sit there all evening, one ball game right after another. But when you do that for church and for God and the Bible, wouldn't you agree with that?
Amen.
Yes, sir. It's more important. So that's what this weekend is. More important than the NCAA tournament. More important than the NBA. More important than the Super Bowl. You say, this youth rally is not more important than the Super Bowl. Ask the Lord. Ask Him. See if He says yes or no. I know it is. It deals with heaven and hell, eternal issues. We're not important, but this meeting is important. Psalm 3 this morning. I want you to look down at verse number 5. Psalm 3 and verse number 5. I'm going to preach one word this morning, and this is going to help somebody if you'll listen. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me.
That's right.
I want you to look at that word, sustained. And that's the word that I want to preach on this morning. Sustained. Now, I'll tell you what, I read that verse, it's in the Bible several times, and I want to preach on the Lord will sustain us. Now, I looked in the dictionary, and there's several different, you know, it'll have primary definition, secondary definition, third, fourth, it'll have five or six definitions of one word. Let me give you the definition of the word sustain. The word itself, sustain, means to keep up. It means to keep something going. David said, I went to sleep and I woke up, for the Lord sustained me. You know, David didn't say, man, I had to stay awake all night to keep myself going. I had to stay awake all night to keep my family straight and my house, everything. David said, I once went to sleep, and I woke up, and the Lord sustained me. It means to keep up. Like gas keeps a car running. Like fuel in a truck or a boat keeps it. That's what sustain means. It means also to supply. The word sustain means supply. Like food and provisions. When I was growing up, my daddy sustained our family. He kept groceries in our house. My mom kept food on the table. That's another definition of the word sustain. I can preach a sermon on every one of these, but I'm just going to name them off to you. That means a supply. I had food Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, if my mom and daddy had gave me food once in a while, that wouldn't fit the definition of sustaining. If my daddy worked one week and quit the next, and worked another week and quit the next, and we had to go on starvation or had to go to welfare or something, he's not sustained. Sustaining means to keep it regular, all the time, every day. That's what the definition of sustain means, and I'll show you that again in a minute. It means to bear. It means to endure. Bear the wall. The waves kept hitting this wall, and it sustained them waves. It means to hold up. Again, Lord have mercy. I mean, my mind go all kinds of it. Like a solid wall that the waves of doubt that the devil throws at us and pushes on us can't destroy our lives because it's sustained. There's something sustaining us. Listen, I got saved when I was 18 years old. And I've been going all these years, the Lord has sustained me. And if you'll admit it this morning, the Lord has sustained you. You have not sustained yourself. I have not sustained. I couldn't live right till this evening when we got back to church. The Lord has sustained me. It means to bear it up. It means to hold or support like columns hold a roof. These columns right here this morning, these big columns are holding the weight. That's the meaning of sustain right there. Hold up. To hold up. You know who's held me up all these years? The Lord has sustained me. Glory to God. It means to suffer. It means to suffer. Like the old definition of the word suffer, like, well, we suffered a great loss. We suffered a loss. That word sustain means suffered a loss. That means it held up under a big loss. I've had some big losses in my Christian life, but something always held me up. Down inside that God put in my heart the night I got saved. Lord have mercy. I'm just introducing the message this morning to suffer. And then it means to allow. That word sustain means to allow. That means to admit or to admit favor of. To like in a court, it means a court. If you went to a judge and you presented your case and said, "Look, judge, I need to do this," and the judge said, "Sustain." You ever heard them say that? Or overruled? You know, they'll overrule if they say your argument ain't no good. But if your argument's good, they'll say sustained. That's another definition of that word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It means the judge agrees with our cause. It means that our feeling and we're on his side, he's agreeing with us. Thank God we're in the right. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it means to agree with or to confirm. It means confirm. In a law court, you get up there and the judge says, innocent. Go home, boy. That's what he confirmed you. He sustained you. That's what the meaning of the word sustained means. Now, when I got familiar with this word, it was the first time I was ever in a hurricane. I don't know if you've ever been in a hurricane in your life. I've only been actually in one hurricane. It was in Pensacola, Florida, many years ago, and we took a gang of young people to preach in a church down there in revival, and we took, I guess there's 40, 50, 60 of us. Y'all was there? All of you was there? All three of my girls was there. Do you remember this, Chris, or was you too? You do? Well, anyway, we got checked into a motel, and they was predicting that a hurricane was going to hit the Gulf Coast of Florida. And, you know, they have some notorious hurricanes in that area. That's the price you pay for minimum. It's pretty. But Lord have mercy, buddy, I'm telling you. And they said this. They said, now, the winds are going to get to be 80, 90, maybe 100 miles an hour. I had never felt the wind blow that hard before, but I have tried it. And I tell you what to do. Go down the highway at night, speed limit, and go down the, I always get fussed at when I say that. Go down the highway and stick your head out the window. I always do that when I get a haircut. I got a haircut the other day, and I come out, and I can't stand that hair around my neck. So I stick my head out the sunroof or out like that. And I know people say, who's that fool going down the road? Is he drunk and throwing up or what he's doing? But I always stick my head out the window and let it just blow my hair. Like that, right there? And it blows all that hair off of you. And then I take my shirt and wipe it off like that. And I come up that, and I even feel what 60 mile an hour winds feel like. Or 70 mile an hour wind. I don't know if you've ever felt 100 mile an hour wind. And it said this. The radio program broadcast said we're going to have wind and we're going to have gusts of up to 90, up to 110. And then it said sustained winds of 70 or 80, 85 miles an hour. That means when it dies down, it's still going 80. That means there ain't no, it ain't just some big puff of wind. And there's another big puff of wind. That means sustained winds. And Lord have mercy, did it ever come. They said, don't go out. The power went out to motel. It was in August. It was 100 degrees in there. We were stuck. We looked outside and red lights were falling in the highway. Big sign. The motel sign bowed over like we're in the swimming pool. I mean, I thought this was going to be fun. I don't know about this. I mean, you start this when there ain't nothing to eat, there ain't no place open, and you can't turn the lights on, you can't take a shower, and you're stuck in a motel with 100 people, and the kids, they're all out in the hall. Who, was there anybody else in here with us on that trip? About Alicia? You was there? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, buddy, I'm telling you, when we come back, they put an article in the paper, in the Marion paper about us. That's big news, Marion. Somebody got stuck in a hurricane. And we went down there, and those kids said, Buddy Danny, let's go outside. I said, man, I don't know if I can go out there or not, bud. And I went out, and I started thinking, a red light will hit you in the head if you're out there. Your stuff was blowing. And then boys got out there, and some of them boys, if they're really strong, they can take a post like this right here and go out where their legs are just sticking straight out. I would do that for you right now, but this little thing won't hold me. But you got to be strong to do that, man. Them boys, they can sit down and grab a post like that, and their legs stick straight out. Well, they was taking pictures like that to send them back home. Right? They went, look at that, man, the wind blowing's hard. That blowing legs out from under him. And that stuff was blowing in the swimming pool. And they said those winds were sustained 80 miles an hour, sustained winds. Now, I'm telling you, boy, I thought when I was studying this, it said, I await the Lord sustain me. Now, I want to tell you something about God, people. God, he don't just take care of us one day and dump us the next. He don't just be good to you one day and forget you the next. It's sustained. Everything He does for us, I mean, it's just right on through, brother. He never lets up. He never lets you down. He'll never run out. He'll never run out of gas. He'll never say, I'm tired of fooling with you. I'm telling you what, you talk about faithful. You talk about on time, always right where He's supposed to be, right when He's supposed to be. That's God this morning that we're talking about. Sustained. David said, the Lord sustained me. Hallelujah. He sustained me. Oh, I got to thinking about all I've been through down through the years. I got to thinking about the times I wanted to give up. And I ain't strong. I'm not. I'm a weak person. But I look back now and think, them sustained winds. Them sustained winds. And if you'll admit it this morning, there's somebody carrying you. There's somebody helping you. They say, you ain't living right by your own power. Somebody bigger than you and I is helping me and you to do right this morning. Glory to God, people. I'm telling you, I awake this morning for the Lord sustained me. And I praise His name for it this morning. I want to say a few things about it right quick and then we'll go. We'll go meet back tonight. I want to say He sustained my heart. He'll sustain my heart. You know, the Lord said, give me thine heart. He'll give you your heart. You better keep your heart right. You better keep your heart right. You better keep your heart right. If you're going to live right, kids, you have to let the Lord sustain your heart. You can't just get right with God on Sunday morning and then go out in the world all week on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's got to be sustained. Sustained. That means read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Let God work in your life every single day. I talked to a lady this week. her son is in prison for a crime that I will not mention. And this lady tore all to pieces. Just a young man, raised in church all of his life. Are your kids listening to me? And that young, I asked her, I said, well, when will he get out? She said, I don't know. She said, it could be a long time, and she never gets to see him. And she told me, she said, I've got to talk to him, Brother Danny. She said, I got to talk to him in prison. And she said, I never knew it. She said, son, how did you get in to the mess you got into? And he said, Mama, I started by looking at stuff on the internet that I should never been seeing. And he said, I started looking at it and looking at it and got worse and worse and worse. This boy went to church on Sunday, but he didn't let the Lord sustain him. See, you got to have a sustained heart. You listen, kids, you can't turn that computer on or that TV on or that Netflix or Hulu balloons or umbrella or whatever all that is, and you can't feed your heart and get that stuff in your heart and be sustained. You have to let the Lord sustain your heart. In other words, I can't get up next Monday morning and say, boy, the youth rally's over. I'm just going to live it up and do it. No, I want the Lord to sustain my heart. I want to be right with God next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday. Sustain don't mean up and down. Sustain don't mean I'm right one day and pull the devil the next. We want the Lord to sustain us. To sustain us, we keep our heart with all diligence and let the Lord sustain us. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart, and he messed up. But the Lord helped David and helped him get his heart right and sustained him. I want the Lord to sustain my heart. Second, I want the Lord to sustain my head. Did you know it's so hard these days just to think right and keep your priorities straight? There's so much going on. You have bills to pay. You have kids to raise. You have homework with them. You have obligations. I mean, you have to get your taxes filled. You have to get your house payment made. You have to upkeep your car. You have to, Lord, if it ain't one thing, a car, it's something else. By the time you get it paid for, it tires up. Oh, the transmission goes out. I have to have a timing belt. That one wouldn't even start this morning, and I was cutting out on the way here. Brakes bad on the, I mean, it's always something. Always. And it's always something just to distract you. But you know what? I want the Lord to sustain my head. Amen. I mean, use your head, people. Use your head. You know why we have buses? Not because we're using our head. You know why we run them buses? Miss Vicky, where you at? She back yonder with the kids this morning? Miss Vicky had 44 on that bus in a bad rainy day. Listen, people say, boy, that woman got out there and stayed out in that rain all morning to get them kids. You know what she's doing? She's using that noggin, buddy. That's smart. That's smart. You just wait. You just wait one of these days. One of these blessed days. Hey, you know what? I want the Lord to sustain my head. I've been preaching a long time, and I see a lot of preachers go off track. They get off on this, or they get off on that, or they get off on that. You know, when we started out, when I started out preaching, you know what we done? We'd grab tracts like this, and we'd go out, and we'd just hand them to people. When we was having something, we'd put one of these in a window. We'd hand them to people. And yesterday, we had all night prayer meeting Friday night. Went home, slept about 3 or 4 hours. Got up, come back down here. And I went out, and I was handing these things up, and I was by myself. And I went to Hickory Hospital, and then back up here to Morganton. And I went to visit a boy here and invited him to youth rally. And then I was going down the road, and I was going, hallelujah, boy, it's good to be saved. I can't wait till next weekend. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you. And there's a guy walking down the road, and I thought, you know what? My head ought to be just like it was when I first got saved. I pulled the car over, rolled the window down, and said, hey, buddy, and give him one of them things. And I took some to the flea market, went on down the road. You got to keep your head right, y'all. You got to keep your head. Now, some of you sitting here this morning saying, you're sitting here saying, I just wish it was like when I first got saved, I was just so happy, and I just loved the Lord and everything. Let me tell you what you need to do. If you want to feel like you did when you first got saved, do what you did when you first got saved. Fall in love with the Lord. Get back your first love. Get on fire. Take some of these things. Get them out at Walmart. Make a fool out of yourself. Stand for God. I want the Lord to save my head. That's why we still believe in street preaching. We don't grow out of it. Preaching down in Alabama a few years ago. I'm going to turn and give you this. This boy got on fire for God. Revival broke out. Some of y'all remember. It went to a three parts of 2 or 3 weeks. And revival broke out. They had a teenage boy in there. He kind of had blonde hair, and he's about that tall. He's about 16 or 17, and I call him Axel. And because he looks like that guy that was on Guns N' Roses. And I said, "There's Axel." And sorry, I don't even know his real name. And that boy got on fire. Listen, teenagers. He started going out getting all his friends. And every night, he'd come in there with two or three, And one night, he was late. And they said, "Where's that?" I said, "Where's Axel?" They said, "He's gone picking up people. He's got his mama's car. He didn't even have no license." Got his mama's car. I'm not telling you to do this, but I believe God forgave him before he done it. He was out picking up cars, and he was out picking up cars. He's out picking up people in that car. And one night he was late. And you know what they said he did? They said that boy come in one night, and he had opened the doors, and there was kids jumping out every door. Then he popped the trunk. Yes, he popped the trunk, and there's a bunch of them started climbing out of the trunk. I said, "Glory to God! Woo, hallelujah!" That's deacon material right there. That's what you want. You know what we need? We need some people like you sitting here that'll just get that desire in your heart. "I'm going to bring me a carload. I know so-and-so." That's keeping your head sustained and on the right track. Amen. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. Somebody sends me a letter and they'll say, "You need to do a study on this. You need to do a study on prophecy." And I love all that stuff, but I'm not going to let myself be distracted from keeping the main thing the main thing. That's getting men, women, boys, and girls to God and getting them saved by the grace of God. Getting that youth rally over there and seeing people saved from hell is more important than any religious conference in the world that just dilly-dallies around and tells somebody a meaning of a word they ain't never heard before. Amen? Have y'all heard what the devil done? Lord, it's on the internet and everything else. But this just came up. This Saturday, this coming Saturday, the big day, the atheists from all over the country are planning a big convention. They studied and they said, Morganton, Hickory, and Lenore are one of the top 10 metropolitan religious areas in the United States. Now, Marion Spruce Pine is a lot more than this, but they're too little to fool with. Morganton, Hickory, and Lenore is one of the top religious places in the United States. So the atheists are having a big convention this weekend. Who do you think laid it on their heart to do that? In Hickory. And they're having speakers at 9 o'clock. And they're going to try to convince everybody that they... Now think about this. If you didn't think there was a God and you really didn't even believe there's God, would you waste your time and money renting a convention center? Would you really? I mean, just go fishing. Enjoy life, brother. If there ain't no God, who cares what anybody else does or believes? But they feel it necessary, compelling, to convince the world to believe like they're evangelists from the dead. Listen, I ain't telling you to, but it'd be a blessing if God laid it on somebody's heart to go down there and give out tracts Saturday morning. I'm sure there's enough redneck preachers in Hickory, Illinois. There'll probably be a gang down there. Now, let them come to you and give their stuff out. We ain't scared of it. Amen. I don't care. I'll read anything they got. If they'll read that King James Bible and come here to preach on Saturday night, I'll listen to any tape. They won't give me the... Listen, but there is a God there, and the devil just don't like... That's why the Lord, he'll have to keep your head straight. I liked it yesterday, pulling over on the side of the road and giving people, this guy, you pull over on the side of the road and say, "Hey!" I don't like you. Ain't you scared? No, they're scared of us. Next, I want to say this. I want the Lord to sustain my house. Do you pray the Lord will sustain your house? Now, I'm talking about just for a minute. My house up there in Hoptown Holler this morning. I've always been afraid of, afraid your house is going to burn down, and that happened, and then it might happen. I'm sure many of you have been through that. House caught on fire, so before we leave to go on a trip, I say, "Lord, take care of my house. Sustain it. Lord, don't let termites get it. Don't let... You gotta watch out for them things. You carry in a load of mulch, you're just dumping termites around your house. And Lord, don't let it catch on fire. Lord, don't let it thieves break through and steal. Lord, watch over my house. It ain't much, But Lord, I've got stuff in there I don't want. Pictures and blankets and memories and you have diaries and things that you just could never replace. Never, ever, ever. I got some funny pictures of them girls. Funny. If they'll pay me $20, I won't bring them and show them to you. $20 each. But I'm telling you something, buddy. Listen, I'm telling you, I want the Lord to sustain my house. I want the Lord to sustain my home. I've got to hurry and say this and I'll be done. Listen, you say, what's the difference? You done said your house. Your house, your home's two different things. A lot of people got a house, but no home. There's people got a $700,000 house in Charlotte this morning, but no home.
You're right.
There's people live in a mansion on a hill, on the lake, don't have a home. I want the Lord to sustain my home. And that's where the youth rally comes in. I read about, not long ago, in Charlotte, girls went from a college student to a $2,000 a week cocaine addict living in a crack house. Her daddy is an executive. Her mom's a school teacher. They live in a big mansion. If you pull up in front of that house, a big retriever comes out and greets you. She wound up down there in Charlotte in her house with a bunch of other addicts throwing ice on her body where it's just shaking, uncontrollable. And she lost touch with her family, and I don't know if she's even still alive or not now, but you know what? They got a house. Their home's all messed up. And I want to say to every parent here this morning, there are things more important than your kid making a lot of money and getting a bigger... I'm not saying that's wrong. I hope they do and do right with it. But there's a lot of stuff more important, like keeping your family together. Can you imagine? Last night, there was a woman come in and said, I don't love you no more. I'm moving out. Husband, I don't love you no more. I found somebody else. I'm moving out. I want the Lord to sustain my home. He's the only one who can do it. There's people right now this morning, the devil's trying to get in your home. He's trying to bust up your marriage. He's trying to rip your eyes apart. Push and ruin your kids. I'm telling you, that's the Lord to sustain. God sustained my home. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I heard a guy the other day, and they had one boy in their family that wouldn't go to church. Mama went to church, daddy went to church, and all the kids went to church except one boy, and his name was Jimmy. And they had a sign above their kitchen table that said, we're all saved here in this house. And one day, they're sitting there eating, and the mama looked at daddy and she said, you know what? That ain't true. Jimmy's old enough now to do what he wants to, and he don't want to go to church and live right. We're going to have to take that sign down. And daddy said, I ain't taking it down. And they wrote underneath it, we're all saved here except Jimmy. We're all saved except Jimmy. You may be here this morning, and everybody in your family goes to church and lives right. You got one kid or two kids that just break in your heart. And let me say this. You can have a broken marriage but still have a home. People say, I have a broken home. That's really not right. It's a broken marriage. You can still have a home, thank God. If ain't nobody there but you and your kids, you can still have a home. And I'm going to tell you folks this morning, it ain't illegitimate children's our problem. It's illegitimate parents. That's what's killing this country. Down in Florida, 17-year-old girl was dancing in a strip club. Underage, illegally. And her mother forced her to do it for money. Mama. Lord, I see it all the time. People got their kids look. Them little old dance mom kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they make them look like some kind of Hollywood hoe. Anybody don't be ashamed to make their kid look like 10 years old. I know somebody get mad over that, but it's the truth anyway. Amen. Listen, we need some parents that'll get their heads straightened out and realize what's the most important thing in this world. Amen.
I mean, I had, we take one of mine to Hollywood and do a magazine thing with her, and I pitched a fit. They come to my kids and said, we want to take a picture of you make for the weirdest kids in North Carolina or whatever. But, and I said, no. I don't want them to be famous and popular in the world. Look at them like they're a toy. I want the Lord to sustain my family. That girl put a pistol in her mouth, blowed her brains out, and they charged that mother. 17 years old. You know what we need to pray? Lord, sustain my family. Sustain my kids. Not just a big puff once in a while. Sustained winds. And keep us going. I went to sleep and I waked. For the Lord sustained me. Let's stand by our head for prayer.